producing over 500 hours per week of talk radio. GCN Live is a world leader in talk radio. Archives for the following program can be found at GCNLive.com.
Welcome to the American Family Farmer, the weekly radio program for the small independent farm owners and those interested in how your food gets from the farm to your table. Here's your host, lifelong family farmer, Doug Steffen.
This is the American Family Farmer. I'm Doug Steffen. Every week at this time, we take the problems that American family farmers are having, people that are running rural ag businesses, those who are involved in the locavore movement who want to support family farms, the rural farming networks, if you will, and some that are closer in, suburban, sometimes even urban farm networks. There are unique sets of problems that are presented for the folks that want to stay or create a family farm, and that environment is something that, for me, is precious because I grew up on a family farm. I've been a dairy farmer all of my life. In addition to being a broadcaster, I have milked Jersey cows, birthed hundreds of cows. It's just been a wonderful source of fulfillment in my life, and I think most of us who are involved in this feel the same way. So when there are problems that develop, you can certainly feel free to send me your suggestion or idea of how you'd like to have us proceed on this program. Give us an idea, a problem you're having. I'll see if we can find somebody to talk with us about solving your problem. Joining us today on the program is Jim Kleinschmidt, who is a senior advisor on climate and energy for the Institute for Agriculture and Trade Policy, which is an international organization based in Minneapolis. Main focus of the work there and his work has been the Rural Climate Network. And so I think we'll start with that because a lot of people are concerned with climate, climatology, climate change and global warming and all these things. And look around at how the farmer is affected. Well, the farmer's always been affected by this, whether the government or a private agency has got involved in it or not. We all don't have to go back any more than to the Dust Bowl of the late 1920s, early 1930s, and how it ravaged farmland in our country. You can look at the rains that we've had recently, look at the rains that we had 4 or 5 years ago, and the amount of soil, topsoil, that got washed down the Mississippi River into the Delta. Those are the sorts of things that I'm guessing you deal with. Am I right, Jim?
Yeah, that's right. The Rural Climate Network is really made up of a bunch of rural organizations that are out on the ground trying to find solutions and to help people understand what's going on, and probably more importantly, you know, knowing what farmers and rural communities are always dealing with, what can you do about it yourself? And that means both on the ground there in your communities, but also what do you need from your leadership to do things to help make your communities more resilient in the face of these changes that we're seeing out there every day.
Mm-hmm. So on the national picture, or maybe we should start on the local picture. You're a guy that grew up milking cows like I did, so you know. Was there ever a discussion of things like, was the word sustainable ever used at the table? Did you ever talk about how do we responsibly spread the manure? You know, there's these clowns, as an aside here. I read something this week about the EPA once again trying to put forth an idea to declare manure a hazardous material. And so that would have to be, these people, and where they come up with these ideas. Well, you know, you look at who's running the FDA and the Monsanto guys here, there, and everywhere, and I guess you get your sense of what's going on. But did you ever have these conversations where it was just, oh, well, here's what we have to do today. We got to spread the manure. And tomorrow we got to plant the corn. And day after that we have to start haying. And is that how, or did you actually get into the nitty gritty down in the weeds, if you pardon the pun, as to how agriculture worked?
Well, we were lucky. I mean, I think my parents, you know, raised us in a way that they both, you know, made us very active participants, whether we liked it or not. As a scary kid, you know, often it's a not in all of the work, but I think more importantly, they explained to us why we were doing what we were doing and how we were doing it. Mm-hmm. And so I think from both a perspective of learning, and we grew up during the farm crisis, and I was there during the 70s, 80s, so every dollar mattered, of course. And so we really got a straight up education on, is it sustainability? Is it survival? You know, is it subsistence? I mean, whatever you want to call it, we learned how to take the least inputs from outside the farm in that we had to purchase and how to get the most out of the farm. And what that meant at the end of the day, you know, I learned later really more was sustainability and sustainable crop rotations, having the cows do more of their own work. But I think just as importantly, and this is, you know, maybe what not everyone gets, we also got told what was going wrong. You know, why was it that, you know, we're dairy farmers eating government cheese in our family, you know, and that's a policy problem. That wasn't anything we were doing wrong. We were doing our work. Our cows were doing their work, you know, but here we are producing something at the end of the day that, you know, was being sold for less than what it cost us to produce it.
And you know what?
You know, that, we knew that.
It still is a problem. For those of us who do dairy, I was milking cows and it cost me $24 a hundred weight. I have a very highly visible product in a highly visible area, not really rural, but suburban. And so it's costing me $23-24 a hundred weight. And when I stopped doing it the first time, we were getting $15 a hundred weight. And this is because, as you just suggested, of the damnable government policies, these stupid price-setting circumstances, and the big producers who have become nothing but bigger under the circumstances, and they're happy to import milk from any place they have. They don't care about the American family farmer. They care about getting cheap milk so they can sell it cheap and they can make more money. So, I mean, is there anything that's as simple as that, isn't it?
Well, it is, and I think, but this is where, you know, going back to what you were asking on the manure spreading and all of that, we know how to break out of this cycle, right? That's a volatility and a commodity cycle that, you know, that others want us to be in as producers. And like you said, they don't care about the farmer. They care about those margins. And so for us, what my parents helped figure out and my dad, you know, always, and mom both always learned, and they both were very involved with different organizations and learning about sustainable agriculture, is how do we do this for ourselves in the way that maximizes value. And it comes back to that climate stuff, because for us it came down to how do we do this on grass, how do we do this on hay, how do we do this on crops and animal systems that we have more control over, but we can get the highest value without worrying about what Monsanto or that seed dealer or anyone else is going to charge us this next year, because we knew if we made money one year, they'd take a lot of that money the next year, right?
Right.
And
yeah.
So we've learned to start to do that, and I think this is the kind of stuff, ironically, is the very same thing we need both to survive as farmers out there, is to do these kind of things during climate change, both in the markets, but almost more importantly, of course, as the climate changes,
right. We
need to be doing these kind of practices that build the soil, that do all those things that don't need the inputs, because, as you know, that's where we're going to have problems, just like you said, with soil washing away and everything. We need that. So it comes back to all those lessons we learned just to try to survive are now those lessons we need to survive in a changing climate.
The practical side. Jim Kleinschmidt is with us. We're considering all kinds of things when it comes to the climate. How does that affect your business as a farmer? We continue on this week's American Family Farmer.
This report is brought to you by RB. According to the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, an estimated 22 million school days are lost each year due to colds alone. Despite the frequency with which children get sick, mothers are underutilizing healthcare professionals for advice on best treatment options. A new survey, released by RB, reveals that mothers nationwide are struggling to treat their children's cough and cold symptoms, affecting both energy levels and focus. However, only 23% of mothers surveyed would consider seeking professional help. The National Association of School Nurses is collaborating with RB on this educational effort to raise awareness. Lawrence E. Flint, MD, pediatric hospitalist and assistant professor, Department of Health Informatics, Rutgers University.
We encourage parents to reach out to their health care provider to determine when it's appropriate to give their child an over-the-counter medication. It's important to be well-informed in order to make the best decisions possible regarding our children's health.
For more, visit the National Association of School Nurses website at www.nasn.org.
No matter what kind of allergy day you're having, relief can be yours with Nasacort Allergy 24-Hour. Its prescription-strength medicine effectively relieves your worst nasal allergy symptoms, including congestion, for 24 hours. Nasacort has no harsh taste, is non-drowsy, and non-addictive. Unlike Flonase, Nasacort is scent and alcohol-free. And in clinical studies with Flonase, more people prefer Nasacort. For effective nasal allergy relief, choose Nasacort. It's guaranteed relief or your money back. Details at Nasacort.com. Use as directed.
The Purple Heart Foundation is a proud supporter of The Dana Show. Because of your car and cash donations, a difference is being made in the lives of veterans and their families nationwide. It's important to remember the challenges our veterans face when they return home, and it's not just about the emotional and psychological challenges. Veterans return home to mountains of paperwork and ridiculous amounts of red tape associated with receiving their benefits. A large number of veterans just give up because the process is so daunting. The Purple Heart Foundation is dedicated to helping our warriors fight for their benefits. Their national service officers around the country work side by side with veterans, not giving in until they receive their benefits. You can't put a dollar value on the importance of this kind of service for our soldiers. Call 888-414-4483. That's 888-414-4483. They take many forms of donations, but a cash donation has the most immediate impact. All donations are 100% tax deductible. Just go to purpleheartfoundation.org. That's purpleheartfoundation.org.
I have to get to sleep.
Tom had a stressful day, and now he can't shut down at bedtime.
Need sleep.
To fall asleep fast, millions of people turn to Unisom sleep gels. They're non-habit forming and quickly help you sleep soundly so you wake recharged. Tom? Unisom sleep gels. A stressful day deserves a restful night. Use as directed. Active ingredients diphenhydramine hydrochloride.
We continue on the conversation on the American Family Farmer. I'm Doug Steffen, happy to have Jim Kleinschmidt with us, who is the Senior Advisor on Climate and Energy for the Institute for Agriculture and Trade Policy, IATP. I was just reflecting on something that is a result of our climate and how well we did with the soybeans, beans in general, corn, that kind of stuff. Huge opportunities for America. I think I talked last week or the week before about the Russians deciding not to take any more of our grain because of the GMO problems and the Monsanto problem, whatever they are, whatever their excuse. Now I see this week some of the crop reports are indicating, Jim, that the weather has been perfect in Brazil and Argentina, all over South America, if you can put aside the Zika conversations and focus on something else from down there. They've had heavy, heavy, heavy results as they get into the end of their growing season. Good weather, infrastructure. So they're going to be selling a lot of the soybean, especially with some corn as well, on the market. So instead of them buying stuff from us, this is what I find fascinating. We're buying things from them because it's cheaper for us to buy Brazilian and Argentinian crops than it is for us to buy our own crops. And again, we're back to a wacko policy here, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, what confounds me, Doug, is, so, I mean, you know this. We're here in this country where we've got some of the best soils in the world.
Yep, great.
We've got the best transportation and infrastructure out there around agriculture. And then on top of it, we have the highest value food markets in the world around organic, sustainable, non-GMO, all of these localized markets that we love and that are growing, you know, nonstop, regardless of what the transnational companies do, how much they buy, anything like that. It doesn't matter. This is where people want to go.
Right.
Yet what do we focus on with our policy? We focus on producing the lowest value products in the world for agriculture. Mm-hmm. All right, that's what we tell our farmers to grow right now. We're not giving them the support to get in these other markets that would give us much more value and give us the food we want, right? And it's exactly what you're saying. We're competing with people in other parts of the world on a race to the bottom when we're at the top. And when I talk about this with international farmers, their response generally is, thank you. I would love to take advantage of those organizations.
Exactly. Exactly. The government and the processors are screwing us. They're screwing because obviously they're in business to make money, and it's cheaper for whatever the reality to get some of this stuff. But are we talking about quality? No, we're not. Jim, hold on a minute. Jim Kleinschmidt is here, and you're getting into the root of all evil with this, and it seems to be a theme of this program. So trying to rally more people around the idea of helping themselves through advocacy. We continue on the American Family Farmer in just a few moments.
This is David Cordani, CEO of Cigna. For more than 20 years, Cigna has worked with the March of Dimes to address premature births in the U.S. Premature births cause horrible suffering and cost billions of dollars each year. That's why Cigna is committed to raising funds and awareness through our employees, family, and friends to improve the health of moms and babies. Please join us in supporting the March for Babies. Start your team today at marchforbabies.org.
Hello, my name is Don Wiskin from HeartDrop.com, the distributors of Extendivite, the number one heart drop that people have been raving about for years. Every February, for the last 16 years, HeartDrop.com has had a Heart Month sale to help you stay heart healthy. For only $115 plus shipping and handling, you can get a 4-month supply of Extendivite in either liquid or capsule form to help you get started on your path to better health. Now is the time to stock up. Order what you need. Stay heart healthy all year with the number one heart drop, Extendivite. To order your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website, heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Get on board with the Tax Admiral! Don't pick on the IRS alone! I'll cut penalties and reduce your overall tax bill sometimes. I can even get it zeroed out completely!
We're an A-rated company helping people clean up their mess with the IRS.
If you owe $10,000 or more, then call the Tax Admiral!
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
Now it's time at 23 and change past the hour for us to continue our conversation on this week's American Family Farmer. I'm Doug Steffen with Jim Kleinschmidt, who comes to us from the Institute for Agriculture and Trade Policy. He's in charge of their climate and energy focus, Rural Climate Network, which has a lot of different people in it who do realize what the problem is. We're trying to solve the problem, whether it's in dairy, whether it's in produce, whether it's big ag. When we look at the weather forecasts, literally, you see what's happening. I get a kick out of a lot of people. I discuss this on my weekday program a lot, the Good Day program, when the issue of global warming and climate change comes up. It's never been wetter, it's never been colder, and it's never been this nonsense. It has. In terms of the record keeping, maybe you go back to the 1870s, the 1880s, when good records started to be kept. But if you look at some of the results of those core drillings into the surface, the planet go down 5,000 feet, maybe even further than that, to see what the history of the planet is recorded in its surface. And you see that all of these things have happened many times before. All right, so how do we use that knowledge to help ourselves today not get distracted, but to learn that we can adapt? I think that's really one of the things, it seems to me, that you, I'm sure, are focusing on, adaptability of the soils and the weather conditions, because it's always going to change. Instead of complaining about it, you're not going to stop it, so what do you do to be in sync with it?
That's exactly right, and I think that's where rural people excel at this, and why it's really why the Rural Climate Network was created, not just to share what's known out there about climate science, but really to bring rural perspective and solutions to the table. And it's not just about agriculture, it's about all parts of rural, but what we know about agriculture in particular is just what you're talking about, is we have the tool. I mean, ironically and thankfully, right, the very problem is all that carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. Well, pulling that back down into the ground and creating soil organic matter is exactly the solution, both from an adaptability and a mitigative response. You know, how to fix the problem, because even if we shut down every coal plant today, right, we've still got too much of that stuff up there. The only way we fix it is by bringing it down, and we can do that with good farming practices, with perennials. We know how to do it. Farmers can fix this problem.
Yeah.
Foresters can fix this problem. But we have to give them the direction, the tools, the incentives, right, instead of what we've been doing, which is the reverse, right?
Well,
we've been telling them to go ahead and do everything, you know, to let that carbon go.
Well, what we've been doing is under the guise of federal policy with federal policy wonks, They don't have any time on the farm at all. And they just know what they learned at some policy institute someplace or in some university, which is great on the surface, but they get hired. And because the government is so influenced and so corrupted by big business that pays for these people to get elected, when the policy makers come, they don't come from farms. They come, well, maybe once in a while, like Vilsack, I think, has a farming background, governor of Iowa beforehand. Doesn't he have a farming background?
No, he's actually a small-town kid, I think, from Pennsylvania, actually.
Oh, really? And he moved to Iowa?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Terrific. Well, so there you go. No wonder we have so many stupid mistakes that are being made there. But this is it. We are taking our money that we pay in good faith for them to operate the government, and they extract it from us in some ways not voluntarily, and then they use it against us to put us out of business. And that's really what we're talking about here. If you just have some common sense, why should we have to have the Rural Climate Network? Why not, at least in terms of lobbying in Washington, we should just have local groups of people that say, okay, here's how we protect that dam. Here's how we protect that forest. Here's how we protect that field. These people that are local know best how to serve themselves, not some clown that comes from Washington who rolls into town and says, okay, that's a waterway, and it's a puddle in your backyard. I mean, am I right?
You're exactly right, Doug. And that's why this work for us is all focused. While we're a network, it's all localized work. We're trying to learn from each other. What works in Montana? What works in South Carolina?
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you, too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
It's about time something new came along for better selling and buying online. And I found it.
What now, Marge?
It's buysellmakeoffer.com.
Never heard of it.
It's a brand new company. That's why you've never heard of it. It's the newest and best way to sell any products online. I did all the research.
Sell my car?
Yes.
Our home?
Yep.
My golf bag?
Your golf clubs. All of them.
How about your purse collection hoard?
Hey, now.
You said any product.
Right. I did. We get 30 days free.
Really?
Packages starting from only $7.95. And buysellmakeoffer.com will never charge item fees, ever.
Hmm.
Never. And this is cool. Listen to this. You can even use Skype or video to show your items.
That's cool.
Yes. All we have to do is go to the website, sign up, and then load our stuff to sell. I love this site.
Buysellmakeoffer.com.
Buysellmakeoffer.com. You got it?
Buysellmakeoffer.com.
Buysellmakeoffer.com. Better selling, better buying.
So you've got to take a state construction license exam or certification. Can't decide on what books or what chapters to study? Discover right now how you can eliminate unnecessary books and wasted study time. At contractorexam.com, our study materials zero in on state-required test topics in an effective, multiple-choice format. So whether you're a plumber, electrician, general contractor, or other construction-related trade, contractorexam.com will help get you prepared. Visit us at www.contractorexam.com today.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
I'm Nick Sobolewski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Returning now to the American Family Farmer, I'm Doug Steffen, overviewing every week a problem that you're having as a family farmer in some family-run ag business, or you're a local boy, you really want to pursue, you want to push, you want to embrace, you want to have good local agriculture so that you can eat the meats and poultry that you want, and so you can have the eggs that you want, and the vegetables that you want, and all of the things that you're entitled to, but yet you're it is systematically and consequentially being eliminated. Your ability to produce it and Americans' ability to buy it, and we're being hoodwinked by these people who say, oh, well, this is fresh and local and it comes from 100 miles away. Well, that's fresh and local anymore in comparison to the farm down the street. So I thought we would be well served to have Jim from his Institute for Agriculture and Trade Policy give us some examples of how leaders locally have taken specific climate problems, either educated people as to how to fix them or actually got involved. There have to be dozens of practical solutions that people can find if they go to your website, ruralclimatenetwork.org. Right, Jim?
That's right, Doug. No, thank you for that. And exactly right. What we do there is try to list a lot of both the members around the country. So hopefully wherever people are listening, there will be someone nearby you who's mm-hmm. part of this and try to help clarify what they're doing on climate. Because as you know, in rural America, like I said earlier, doing climate work is really doing a lot of other things too. And we don't pretend that's different. So that's a starting point for us is being clear. When we say climate, we're still talking about a lot of things we've always worked on around sustainability, around self-reliance and so on. I think the best example I could give you, though, is work we did do in Minnesota and we're still doing. We wanted to go have rural communities actually talk about these problems. I said we're good solution people, but we need to know what's going on first in order to figure out what exactly we can do. So we set up a series of rural climate dialogues in three different parts of Minnesota. The last one will be happening in the southeast part of the state very soon. One was in the western part, a very agricultural-dominated region that had heavy hailstorms recently, a lot of washouts. The second one was up in a northern part of Minnesota where it's all rural communities, of course, where it's more intersection of tourism and forestry and water concerns. And the last one's down in our southeast region where it's an intersection of all that stuff plus sand mining and a bunch of other stuff. And the goal was to come in, work with a partner who's really good at getting citizen jury type dialogues going, bring a bunch of information, expert witnesses, as it were, forward for randomly but representatively selected citizens. So in the community out in western Minnesota, Morris, Minnesota, we had a group of 15 citizens aged 14 to 84 who sat for 3 days. They got paid. They got supported to talk through what is going on around climate. We had our state climatologist, our state agricultural extension climatologist, Mark Seeley, who is a national treasurer as well as a Minnesota treasurer, come and explain what's happening in our weather. And these folks out there went right to work, and by the end of it, they not only had listed what are the three key things they need to work on within a year, they had managed to get funding from the state to start working on a plan in their community for what they were going to do to become more resilient and to help everyone understand what's going on.
So what were those three things?
The first one was, how do we work with our residents who have energy issues? Because we know rural houses are leaky as hell, all be, you know? And so how
so are the barns. So are the, I got holes in my barns, holes in the roof.
And we got a lot of elderly who don't have the resources or ability to fix that. So that was the first thing. The second was, how do we help everyone understand how this is changing so as they're thinking, about stuff, as they plan stuff, they know. So that was climate education. The third was, how do we make agriculture more resilient, less vulnerable to weather swings? And that was a straight-up discussion with farmers and farm groups in the area about what are the kind of things you guys can be doing out here, whether it's cover cropping, whether it's maybe some more buffers, maybe it's a little shift in your systems. They have to figure it out. We're not going to tell them what to do. That's been the problem, hasn't it? But we know what we want for outcomes, and people can farm to outcomes if they're given the chance. So it was really a great discussion, and it was entirely led, and word, every single word was written by citizens in that community, and that's why they're going ahead with it.
Did they need the government to do anything?
No, they're giving a little help to help organize, but they're doing it all themselves. Of course they are, and that's what they told us. As soon as they knew what needed to be done, half those people were out planning it themselves.
Yeah. And does this involve usually or often the mayor of a small community, chairman of the board of selectmen, somebody who is involved maybe in an administrative way that also may be a farmer? Because a lot of the towns, I'm thinking, I went to school at Heidelberg in northwestern Ohio, and I remember some of these little towns like Attica and Willard and Lima. Lima's not so small, but you know what I'm talking about. Some of these rural places, lots of farms all over the place, and the people who ran the town were farmers. The guy who ran the bank was a farmer. So
that's how it worked. No,
yeah.
Absolutely. Half the commissioners we talked to, of course, are farmers.
Yeah.
And what's great is the town administrator, I'll say, and that town was a little suspicious. Here's this group coming from Minneapolis to come talk to him about climate change in his town. But, you know, what we do is we talk, and they talk. We mostly listen, actually. We let all the people who know stuff talk about in the area. And by the end of it, he was one of our most active leaders on making things work, because he's dealing with, you know, busted up roads. He's dealing with a water treatment plant that can't quite handle what they need now with all the flooding. Yeah. I mean, everything he's dealing with really comes back to climate in some way. So, but what they liked was, and this is the statement from those people, no one ever brought it down to Morris. We all hear about this parts per billion and global warming and all this stuff, and no one brought it back to our town and said, what can we do? And so I think that's what we need to be doing around the countryside, is saying, what is our issues and what are we going to do about it? Because that's what we know how to fix.
Somebody criticized me recently, sent me an email, you're so anti-government. Don't you think the government does anything right? And I thought about for a minute, I have a hard time finding things the government does right, especially in the shadow of what we're talking about here. Who the heck needs the government? These people have figured it out on their own because it's their livelihood. It's what means something to them. They don't, you know, they don't want handouts. They want to be able to, you know, the pride that comes from driving down the road. I'm reminded of the scene from the movie that Tom Hanks was in. Remember, he was the FedEx plane went into the ocean, and I forget, it was Castaway. And he, at the end of the movie, is driving down this dirt road in the middle of nowhere. I think it was in, I want to say Iowa, but a package was delivered to this woman. You know, he saved a package from the plane. And so you look at the landscape there, and you think, why in the world don't we love, why don't we worship this stuff? Because it's the greatest resource we have. And anyway, there's so many pictures you can find. The problem is today, the government owns so much of that land, they won't let you use it. And that's another whole issue that I want to address with you in a moment. Jim Kleinschmidt is with us from the Rural Climate Network, ruralclimatenetwork.org. I'm Doug Steffen on this week's American Family Farmer.
I wish I could fall asleep.
Jennifer had a stressful day, and now her mind is spinning at bedtime.
I have a big day tomorrow.
It's time for Unisom Sleep Minis. The tiny capsules are non-habit forming and work fast. They're the little help busy people need to get a good night's sleep and wake recharged.
Good night.
Unisom Sleep Minis. A stressful day deserves a restful night. Use as directed. Active ingredients diphenhydramine hydrochloride.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill for pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-900-6109 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 800-900-6109 to take your call now. Call 800-900-6109. That's 800-900-6109. Again, 800-900-6109.
And now, the Lens of Liberty. Here's Helen Creeble.
The way our government tries to convince us to eat more fruit and vegetables, you would think those are the most important crops grown on our nation's farms. But the government apparently doesn't think so. Our tax dollars provide a wide variety of farm subsidies, price supports, crop insurance, disaster payments, market controls, and even direct product promotion. Big subsidies go mostly to large corporate farms, not family farms, and only to those that grow corn, wheat, soybeans, cotton, and rice. Smaller subsidies are given for peanuts, sorghum, and mohair. But there are no subsidies for all the meat, fruit, and vegetables most Americans eat. When we look through the lens of liberty, we know that these special deals for chosen crops and producers violate the first principle of American democracy, equal treatment for all.
For more information, go to lensofliberty.org. That's lensofliberty.org.
This report is brought to you by RP. According to the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, an estimated 22 million school days are lost each year due to colds alone. Despite the frequency with which children get sick, mothers are underutilizing healthcare professionals for advice on best treatment options. A new survey, released by RB, reveals that mothers nationwide are struggling to treat their children's cough and cold symptoms, affecting both energy levels and focus. However, only 23% of mothers surveyed would consider seeking professional help. The National Association of School Nurses is collaborating with RB on this educational effort to raise awareness. Lawrence E. Flint, MD, pediatric hospitalist and assistant professor, Department of Health Informatics, Rutgers University.
We encourage parents to reach out to their health care provider to determine when it's appropriate to give their child an over-the-counter medication. It's important to be well-informed in order to make the best decisions possible regarding our children's health.
For more, visit the National Association of School Nurses website at www.nasn.org.
Jim Kleinschmidt here. I'm Doug Steffen. This is the American Family Farmer. We're trying to deal with specific issues that have to do with climate in your area. We've come up with some pretty good ideas and pretty good examples of how this is being done on the local level, how sustainable these things are, these practices are. And so I guess I would ask also for us to consider whether these techniques have been used elsewhere beside in our country, because the same problems exist elsewhere, except they don't seem to have as much government interference in most countries as we do here. Am I right?
Well, I mean, I think actually, you know, there's a lot, agriculture and government have been intertwined probably, since before the Romans and, Joseph and the Egyptians. But, we go back to controls on all this. But I think other countries are doing it right. I mean, there's an interesting thing coming out of France, I'll say, And that was one of the highlights for me from this last, you know, policy discussion on climate in Paris, is that they're starting to talk soil finally. Mm-hmm. They're not just talking about this other stuff. They're finally focusing on
the air.
They're
talking about the air. The soil is more important than what you put back into it. A lot of people confuse the people that don't know how farming is done. They see these, you can go by these fields all over the country, and they see these beautiful waves of grain, if you will, green and healthy. And what they don't realize is that oftentimes the reason for that is because of what's put into the soil to make the plants grow. It's not the soil, it's what is adapted by the plants. So you can have weak soil and strong plants by what's being added to it, but you're not helping to reinvent, if you will, or to sustain the soils themselves. Am I right?
That's exactly right. And this goes back to your very first, you know, the very beginning of our discussion around manure and you know, how crazy this is being called a hazardous waste.
Right.
When handled right, it's one of the most valuable things we could have for doing exactly that, actually building healthy soil. And with every increase in a percent of organic matter in our soil, we can hold another foot of water.
Mm-hmm.
We can, you know, reduce our pesticide and herbicide use by, you know, 10, 20%, depending on what, you know, how healthy it was, mm-hmm. stuff like that, right? I mean, we're just being so foolish. This is the most simple and beautiful way of dealing with the most complex problem we have out there. But instead, what do? We talk about all of these, you know, cap and trade programs and all these things that are, you know,
nonsense.
About money.
No, right. And so one wonders, as I'm sort of wasping off into other parts of my brain here, whether you deal with the land differently if it's so-called regular land versus organic land. You have the same policy, just different ingredients. How does that work? Because the government's ruined the value of organic, the term organic as well. But I wonder if you, through the Rural Climate Network, are treating it any differently.
No, I mean, I'll say as a family, you know, who's been organic now for 30 years on our farm, we know those are actually the practices we all need. We'd all like those markets and premiums, too, so that would
right.
be ideal.
Yeah.
But the practices are exactly right. We need to build that soil. We need to keep it covered during the winter. We need to have rotations that break up. We need to not give the money to, you know, we need to not be lazy and just use the chemicals and the inputs that somebody sells us to you know, fix these problems badly.
Mm-hmm.
We need to create our own systems and take back control of our management of our farming so that we're doing it ourselves and we're getting paid for our own labor instead of paying somebody else for something that at the end of the day is hurting that farmer and that land often.
You know, one of the things, and I'm betting you're part of an overall group. I belong to the National Farmers Organization. I used to be a member of the Farm Bureau, but I find them to not serve my interests any longer. But I do find the National Farmers Union to do that. And I look around at some of the subsidies that are still a part of the budget process, the biggest commodity farms in the country, these huge mega farms that are drawing over $1 million in taxpayer-funded subsidies. You got to be pulling out your hair when you see that in the various ag trades, to understand how corrupt the system is. This administration, last administration, all of them. And I think it's time for a march on Washington. Really, I do. With, you know, what are we doing with the money that you take from us? You're giving it to people that don't need it. So I'll give you 60 seconds to wrap it up with that thought in mind.
Well, Doug, and that's right. I mean, I think they've put all their buckets into this crop insurance, but we're all paying for it, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
And it's the reverse of what it should be doing. It should be encouraging them to do the kind of practices we've just been talking about to make their crops more resilient. And instead, what we're doing is paying them often to never harvest that crop. So that system has to change, and we could change it by just saying, very simply, if you're building soil, you get a subsidy. If you're not building soil, organic matter, you pay full price because
right.
you're hurting all of us.
Yeah.
I don't want to support that. We
no.
can do it. We
yeah.
can change policy.
And if we educate people to that, not only those who we're talking to, I'm sure there are a lot of people listening to this program that aren't really farmers. They're interested in the food that they're eating and the life that they want to have for themselves and their family, making it good. And this is the kind of thing that ought to be part of the political landscape discussion this year as we have a big election cycle. Jim, thanks for the service here has been very good. Appreciate it. Best of luck to you as you continue. Jim Kleinsmith, the Senior Advisor on Climate and Energy for the Institute for Agriculture and Trade Policy at ruralclimatenetwork.org.
Removing bad taste and odor from your drinking water is easy. Removing the bad stuff you don't taste is what ProPure does best. Water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure countertop, inline gravity, and household water filtration products. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com. Or call 800-544-3533.
Are you sneezing, coughing, and aching? Do you have a sore throat, a fever, or the sniffles? There's no reason to be sick this cold and flu season with immune system support from Supernatural Silver. Supernatural Silver can give your body the help it needs to fight off harmful pathogens without hurting beneficial gut flora and without leaving behind resistant bacteria. Antibiotics can damage good microflora and often leave behind bacteria which can cause problems later on. If you're sick of being sick, try Supernatural Silver. Supernatural Silver, the number one choice of thousands for a safe and effective way to protect against the many diseases and illnesses that we are facing today. Go to SupernaturalSilver.com, read our customer reviews, and see the life-changing results that people are having. That's SupernaturalSilver.com. SupernaturalSilver.com. Use the promo code PROTECTED for 20% off your entire order. And like us on Facebook. Supernatural Silver.
My dad was 59 when he collapsed from a heart attack late last year. Just this past August was when we spread his ashes on the St. Croix River. I loved my dad, but boy was he stubborn. He hadn't been to the doctor in over 25 years. His excuse? He simply couldn't afford it. He wasn't a rich man by any means. At less than $107 per month, LibertyOnCall.org would have been the perfect alternative for my father. Don't wait. Go to LibertyOnCall.org right now for not just your sake, but for the sake of your loved ones. Again, that's LibertyOnCall.org.
Three past the hour on this week's American Family Farmer. I'm Doug Steffen, and now this comment. The new animal rights activism that's a part of the landscape. You know that I'm a dairy farmer. I've gone on the offensive, I guess. Maybe no. I guess I've been on the defensive. I don't like being on the offensive when it comes to this sort of thing, because I think we can be smart about how people understand what's going on our farms, and in fact we can use it, we can sell it. I have in my barns a sort of agricultural educational institute. I line the corridors, the hallways, with pictures of cows, with explanations of how their gestation period works, picture the various breeds, how their digestive system works. I teach people to come into the farm, and then they can go see how the animals are being raised. They can go watch the cows being milked. They can become part of the circumstances. I'm willing to work wherever I have to make people understand what's going on my farm and to see that it's good. Because overwhelmingly what we are doing is good. It is the best. It is the finest. So instead of being on the defensive, may I suggest that you go on the offensive. It may not be easy for you. It may not be what you as a farmer have been used to. You're used to getting up in the morning. You're doing your work, takes you all day. Why do I have to do some of these other things? And deal with animal rights is one of them. It is a part of the landscape today. It just is. So when people come to my farm, they look around and say, wow, this is great. And I understand, because it's the way I grew up, frankly. I wasn't a part of a routine where the animals were confined, whether they be small heifers that we're raising as calves and then into the larger realities. Everything was pastured and still is. So those people who would come onto my farm with an undercover video, hey, help yourself. Take the camera out. Don't hide it. I'm proud of what I do. And you'll find it's much easier. You can say, well, these people are looking for trouble. Some of them are. But don't give them a reason to find any trouble. It's just as easy to do it right, to have the cows clean and healthy as it is not to. And by the way, there's a respect that the animals deserve. Some of you agree with this. Some of you treat the animals as if they were commodities. I don't happen to agree with that. I think the animals are very special. And that's just my philosophy. I understand that many of you need to slaughter the animals in order to live and to have that money to move on. And that's a personal decision. You got to work on that. But the way you take care of the animals, the animal welfare rights groups who are organizing all over the place, there are two things they're doing. One of them is right, one of them is wrong. The one thing that they're doing that's right is calling attention to the fact that some farmers are abusing the animals and they ought not to be able to get away with it. It's just not right. The other side of the animal rights group, these people who are promoting veganism because they don't think animals should be in captivity, you know what? That may be something that I agree on. Some of you may agree on it. But that's not what I think and what you think, maybe two different things. It's not my business. It's kind of like the overall discussion of things like abortion and things that are purely private, that have nothing to do with people you married. What? Who cares? Why is that your business? And what happens to these animals, and whether you eat them or you don't eat them, is if you've taken good care of them through their lives, I think, anyway, this is my pejorative, that that's the hallmark of doing a good job as a farmer. And so the people who go further and come to your farm, groups that are responsible for a lot of undercover work, they bring in the Humane Society of the U.S. and the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals and Mercy for Animals and all this sort of thing, they overdo it. PETA, some people write them off as a bunch of kooks. They are not. They're serious, and they are happy to get in your way. And in fact, they've taught. I know some farmers that have been taught things by the folks at PETA, how to do things. Don't doesn't cost any more money to do it the right way than it does the wrong way. If you have a family farm, if you're running some big, gigantic, big industrial farm, maybe it doesn't work that way. But those guys are the problem anyway. And they're not to whom we are speaking on this program. This program is not for the mega farms that 5,000, 10,000, 20,000 cows appear on. That's not who we're talking to here. That's not farming, in my opinion, anyway. There's nothing about that. There's no love of farming there. What's there is greed, and the animals become the victim. And those are the places that these people that are looking for exceptions or trouble, that's where they find them. Don't know you can do much about that, but you sure as heck can do something about how to take care of the animals the best way you can. So be thinking about that as perhaps part of your outreach, suggestions, food for thought. That's what this program's all about. I'm Doug Steffen on this week's edition of the American Family Farmer.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be The Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.